For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are debunking all of the myths surrounding Shohei Ohtani. We have another update on Ipe Mizuhara, and we're talking about the bottom of the Dodgers lineup. How big of a concern is it? Should the Dodgers sign Tommy Pham? That's coming up next here on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And that's strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Mookie Betts
cranks it. Left field.
I don't care how many times this team rips my heart out, I'll never stop loving the Los Angeles Dodgers. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What's going on, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to a Friday episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. Joining us here today, I got to my left my super producer, Antonio. So first things first, if you have any comments, any super chats, fire away my man, Antonio. He's on it the entire show. Going to include those for the seventh inning stretches on today's episode. Guys, we have more information about Ipe Mizuhara. We're going to give you the myths, the theories about Shohei Ohtani. And once and for all, we are going to debunk all of them. And of course, the way we start every single episode of Dodgers Dugout Live is with the Dodgers Dugout Live poll question of the show. I asked you guys over on X, who will be the next Dodger to break out this season? 38% of you say Gavin Lux, 12% of you say Chris Taylor, 22% of you say Kike Hernandez, and 28% of you say other. Now, just a reminder too, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel in the game. Do your boy a huge favor and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button, and the most important thing is be sure to comment done down below. Because if you comment done down below, you are eligible to win our next giveaway. And that comes at 90,000 subscribers. Currently, we're at 88,690 subscribers. So getting close to 90K. The second we do, we're giving away an authentic Mookie Betts jersey. Might do a Tyler Glass now. We're waiting to see how quickly they become available. So definitely comment done. I saw you guys yesterday commenting Ipe done. Very clever. But let's dive into the comments here. Let's get things start off a little leadoff action here. We got you guys firing away already. Good to see you guys. A Friday episode. By the way, I will be at Dodgers Stadium in just a few hours. You got Dodgers, Padres, a division series this week. You got Yamamoto on the bump. It's going to be exciting at Dodgers Stadium. So I will be there. If you guys are there, you run into me, come holler at your boy, and we will be doing a post-game show after, a little post-game recap. Look for that on the YouTube channel. Ben Watson says, done. Chris, Sham, Diego getting swept. I like that. That's a little finish him. Little fire take right there. By the way, anytime you guys have a burn, you're going to see one of those, a comment of the show or a super chat, you are going to see one of these. And also, all your comments, file them away and always drop those comments down below so we can include you in the seventh inning stretch. We got D-Mac. Can we please get Chris Taylor to use a cricket bat? Hey, I said a couple days ago, if you're in the bottom of the lineup and you're struggling, might as well just sleep with that cricket bat, right? Because it had given a lot of luck to Shohei Ohtani and James Outman. Look, it's still very early. We're going to dive into that topic a little later. Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux, got some thoughts on that. How big of a concern is that? But first, you can't bury the lead here. And the biggest, I got Noah Cameras, D-Mac, you're so good at basketball here, Dodgers Nation, a little pickup game yesterday. Antonio, you were getting buckets.
I got one bucket.
Yeah, one bucket. I think I got two buckets. So, hey, you know, shoot or shoot, right? You always got to think you're going to make the next 10. But, yeah, good times, bruh, with Lux from Rowley Alvarez. Never hold a grudge, fellas. But, yeah, let's dive into it. So, even after this, I could not believe this. After what we saw yesterday, there were still people out there that were saying, you know what, this is a cover-up, that Ipe Mizuhara is the fall guy. We already did a deep dive on the results yesterday and what came out in the reports, but the most up-to-date information on Ipe Mizuhara is that he has surrendered. If you want to get the latest, go over to DodgersNation.com. This is from Noah Camber. Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, who was charged with bank fraud on Thursday for stealing more than $16 million from Ohtani's account and even impersonating him on the phone with the bank, has officially surrendered to law enforcement on Friday and is in federal custody per ESPN's Alvin Gonzalez. So we're still waiting for him to appear in court. There should be a press conference in downtown LA any minute now. So anything we get from that, we will provide on this show. We'll keep you up to date on anything related to Ipe Mizuhara and the gambling scandal. But look, yesterday was the best possible thing that could have happened for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yesterday was the best possible thing that could happen for Shohei Ohtani and Major League Baseball. There were three wins yesterday, right? Ohtani, MLB, and the Dodgers, because he's been completely vindicated. He's been completely cleared. There has been no wrongdoing on his end. It was a very thorough investigation, and the outcome was that everything he said at Dodger Stadium, when he said he had no involvement, when he said he had no knowledge, it turned out to be 100% true. But that won't stop some of the tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists out there that still have some big questions. And look, I know it. Everyone wants a juicy story, right? Everyone wants a juicy story. We've talked about this ad nauseum, and you want more. And unfortunately for you, it's as simple as you had a criminal, almost mastermind, that was a manipulator that had a lot of access to a superstar and his funds and had a gambling addiction. He was a degenerate gambler. And unfortunately for Shohei Ohtani, he was caught in the crossfire of this and he was completely taken advantage of. But we are going to answer the biggest questions today that people might still have. And then we are going to put it to bed once and for all. Now, the first big question, how did Ipe, someone who doesn't make a ton of money, he's not a millionaire, how would someone like Ipe be able to bet so much money that he didn't have? Well, let's get into it. So if you look at some of the investigators' results yesterday, the investigation proved through a spreadsheet where they track wagers from Mizuhara's account with the bookmaker that had about 19,000 bets from December 2021 to January 2024 that ranged from $10 to $160,000 per bet. So lots of bets. He had the money. He had the credit. He had originally met in San Diego at a poker tournament in 2021. And that is when he was able to establish this with this bookie. And that is when Ipe Mizuhara really got things going. And it was happening over a course of years. It was happening over a course of different transactions. And the second that Matthew Boyer, the bookie, gave him the credit, it was on. And like you said, 19,000 bets. I mean, you're talking about someone who was betting on essentially everything. I mean, even bet on UCLA football to win. I'm a UCLA guy. I'm like, if you bet on UCLA football, you're definitely not a good bettor. And look where it has him, right? This is someone who's facing possibly 30 years in jail. Now, I don't know if he's going to defer he's going to serve the first two years and then defer the other 28 to 2054. But this is someone who's facing serious penalties, serious time behind bars. And getting back to how he was able to spend so much money, right? So $10 to $160,000 per bet. The net balance was around $40.678 million. And it says in the report that there were occasions when Mizuhara would win his bets, and then he would send that money to his own personal account, which is the one that he set up in the same bank as Shohei Ohtani. And Mizuhara would continuously ask for the bookies to expand his line of credit. The losses just continued to grow. And then there was delays with the transfers. And then they gave him the ability to use what's known as free play. So that's where Mizuhara would be able to bet without accruing more of those losses, and then they expanded the line of credit. So they were saying, you know what? This guy has access to these funds. He's linked with Shohei Ohtani, who we, one, like to be linked to because it helps us find other guys at best because we're bragging about it, right? It's got to be something to make you feel cool. Oh, Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter bets with us. We're linked with that. We have his name on stuff. So there was that advantage. And just the fact that this guy was going to get so in deep, they were saying, you know what, let's see how deep we can get this guy and hopefully get that money. Now, there was a text message on March 10, 2022, where Impe said, thank you. Can you put in $100,000 instead of $300,000? The bookie texted back, you mean lower credit to 100? And then Impe texts back, yeah, I'll get too reckless with 300. I'm terrible at this sport betting thing, huh? LOL. Any chance you can bump me again? As you know, you don't have to worry about me not paying. So Mizuhara is telling the bookie, hey, you don't have to worry about it. I got you, right? I got the funds. This is your typical degenerate gambler. He wants more and more and more. He's focusing on trying to win his way out of some of these debts and continue to gamble, and he's asking for more credit, and they were granting him the credit. And then on June 24, 2023, the bookie gives him even more credit. He texted him, to be honest with you, Impe, as long as you can guarantee the 500 every Monday, I'll give you as much as you want because I know you're good for it. So he was finding a way to complete these wire transfers. They were also using a PayPal-related transfer system, and they were getting the money. And once they said, okay, we got $500,000, we don't care where we're getting it from. We know he's good for it. Let's expand the money. And it got to the point, though, where it wasn't always smooth. It's not like Impe was able to just roll out of bed and make these transfers happen. I mean, there were times where he struggled to get those wire transfers to him, and I think that was trying to find a way to get access and through the process of just trying to, hey, let's change our voice. Let's get these access codes. Let's answer these security questions. Sometimes that was an obstacle, and this to me was one of the big takeaways, one of the big standout text messages from the 37-page report, which I read yesterday. I encourage you to go read it as well. And that is that the bookie texted Impe and he said, hey, Impe, it's 2 o'clock on Friday. I don't know why you're not returning my calls. I'm here in Newport Beach and I see Ohtani walking his dog. I'm just going to go up and talk to him and ask how I can get in touch with you since you're not responding. Please call me back immediately. So that is pretty wild. I mean, that is kind of creepy. That makes us feel like a movie. You got Ohtani walking decoy, and he's out there saying, okay, Impe, hey, I'm threatening you, essentially. I'm threatening to go up and talk to Ohtani. So that tells you right there, that's how he was able to rack up that debt. How was he able to do it? Met with the gambler. I had already had access to the accounts, was making these payments, and they were saying, you know what? We're getting the money. He's a proven payer, so let's let this guy rack up more debt. Now, second biggest question. How did Mizuhara get access to these accounts? How did Impe find a way to manipulate his way into Ohtani's money? Well, the first thing is, he was not just his interpreter. He was his de facto manager. He was his assistant. It started all the way back in 2018. They had a relationship back when he was with the Ham Fighters in Japan, right? So there was that there. It almost was like brother relationship, maybe even a father type relationship. He felt comfortable around him. And yes, did Ohtani overtrust someone? There's no doubt about that, but that's not illegal. That's not anything that's criminal, right? And how do you get access? Well, it's as simple as this. Mizuhara impersonated Ohtani to bank employees. That's what he did. And that's how he was able to get past the security. That's how he was able to make those transfers. And on February 2nd, 2022, Mizuhara called the bank and was trying to get access to the account. And he was saying that he was wiring money to one of those bookmakers for a, quote, car loan, right? So he was even using a car loan as something that he was trying to use the wire system for. And then later, he tried to identify himself as Shohei Ohtani, and it worked. It was successful, and he was able to access the account after answering the security questions and providing all that personal information and the details about Shohei Ohtani. So we're talking about someone who's like calling the bank that has the information for the access codes and the details and all the personal stuff is literally impersonating Shohei Ohtani. And then the affidavit, it says that the investigators, when they went over the recordings of all of these conversations with Shohei Ohtani and with Impe Mizuhara, they and the bank, they found that Mizuhara's voice was on there, right? And they noted that Ohtani, he does not speak fluent English. And that is really the big kicker there. I mean, Mizuhara was on the phone. He was speaking fluent English. That's not what Ohtani does. So he was impersonating him. And then also the bank records, they showed that the phone numbers for Ohtani and for Mizuhara, they weren't linked, right? The phone number for the bank was Mizuhara's phone number, and also the email address that was linked to the account was an anonymous Gmail account that was linked with a PayPal account that was discovered in Mizuhara's phone. So that's exactly how he was able to get access. I know it seems far-fetched. We got Mr. Classic says Ipe is Shohei pretty much. We got Ipe knew Shohei like inside out, Mr. Classic. Yeah, they were extremely close. You talk to people around him and they'll tell you they were very, very close. And MM says Ipe. Okay. They were extremely close. And anytime you trust someone, especially who's your assistant, who's your manager, and that guy not only isn't trusted, but is doing illegal activity, yeah, he crossed the line. He changed his voice. He made emails. He made phone numbers. This guy was a hardened criminal. It was like Nicolas Cage in Matchstick Men. I mean, they were talking about someone who was a mastermind level criminal. So that's how he got access. Next big question. How did no one find out? I think this is the one that most people struggle with. How did no one, not his accountants, not his financial advisors, not his agents, how did no one ever get any wind of this? Because that's a lot of money. Like I said yesterday, these guys are in different tax brackets. These guys make a lot of money. So $4 million missing from their account, the guy who has a couple hundred million dollars in there, isn't the same as someone who's making 50, 60 grand and there's money missing from that account. Yes, that is true. But when you have someone that is trying to feed a gambling addiction behind it, that's willing to, one, commit federal crimes, and he's willing to be a felon in this and impersonate him, that's how it happens. And also the big kicker here is he was taking advantage of the people surrounding Ohtani that did not speak Japanese. And that's really what it comes down to. Nez Bolello, his agent at CAA, said that they did not employ any individuals who speak Japanese, but Bolello would occasionally hire Japanese language interpreters to communicate.
You can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade or at least grab an extra latte after getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With his clients. So it's not like all these people that were linked and surrounding Shohei Ohtani were speaking fluent Japanese. So there was always that communication barrier, and Ipe took full advantage of that. Ohtani said that he thought that Bolello, his accountants, and his financial advisors all were able to get into his accounts and all were familiar with his accounts. And that all occurred when his salary was deposited, when his salary was collected into that. But that wasn't the case. He told the investigators that he never gave Mizuhara control over any of his accounts, and that turned out to be true. And Bolello said he was aware of the account for Ohtani's baseball salary. He asked Ipe about it a couple of different times, and Ipe told Bolello that the account was, quote, private, and that Shohei wanted to remain private with the account and didn't want anyone else to monitor it. So Ipe is lying to Bolello, saying that Ohtani wants to remain private and that no, he doesn't want anyone to access the account. So if you're Bolello, you're like, okay, well, Ipe is Shohei's guy. It's basically his assistant, basically his brother. We know how private Ohtani is. Okay, maybe this checks out. So should Ohtani's people, not named Ipe, have dug deeper in this and have done a better job in protecting Ohtani? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But again, that's not a crime. And there was a meeting that was supposed to include Shohei Ohtani in October of 2022 with his financial advisor, But, quote, Mizuhara stated that Ohtani was sick and unable to join the meeting. And in that said meeting, Mizuhara was telling these financial advisors that Shohei wanted the accounts to be, quote, kept private from everyone. So that is how he was able to keep this on the low, is he was taking advantage of the reality that there was not a lot of Japanese speakers around Shohei, not named Ibe Mizuhara. The translator, the interpreter was the one that held that key. And that, look, hey, he's out there saying, look, Ohtani wants this private. Ohtani wants this private. Unfortunately, the people out there didn't second guess Ibe. That's the biggest problem in all of this, is that Ohtani really should have had multiple people around him that he could trust. And clearly, they let him down. And that's unfortunate in this situation. Now, next one. Ohtani had to have known. Ohtani had to have caught wind of this. Ohtani had to have knowledge of the fact that there was money missing, that Ipe was gambling. Well, they looked at 9,700 pages of text messages between 2020 and 2024. And, quote, there was no discussion of sports betting. None whatsoever. Ipe told Shohei that he told Bolello and Tisha Thompson, the reporter for ESPN, that Ohtani had signed off on giving him money, on loaning him money to pay back his gambling debts. But, quote, Ohtani never authorized any wires to the bookmakers. And basically, this comes down to the root of all this. Ipe told 1,000 lies, okay? He lied his way all through this, and he took advantage of Shohei Ohtani. So I hope we can put an end to this now. I hope that we can just let Shohei Ohtani do what he does best, and that's go out there and play baseball, be the best baseball player on the planet. Like I said yesterday, this is someone who still was producing at an MVP level, even though he had a knife in the middle of his back because his best friend, his brother, had stabbed him in the back. The fact that he was able to do that tells you everything you need to know about this guy's ability to compartmentalize and focus on the task at hand. But let me know down below in the comment section. After this, do you have any questions that we can debunk? Any myths? Any theories? Because it's pretty simple. Look, if anything, you have to give Ipe credit. I mean, for being a great criminal. Ipe was an elite criminal. He was the Shohei Ohtani of criminals in all of this. The way he was able to manipulate so many people. And that's just bold, man. Anytime you're trying to go at the feds and mess with banks, you are a hardened criminal. But here we go. I'm talking man to man. So you really believe that? I truly don't. Ipe is a con man. That's from N-Rox. Like he was your best friend for years. Danny Cortez said, everybody should read the complaint. It's very damning. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I could talk about this for days, but I would encourage all of you Dodger fans, if you still have questions, go out there and read the complaint. Did Ipe turn himself in yet? At the moment, I don't believe he has. But, well, no, has he turned himself in? Yeah, he has surrendered. He has surrendered to law enforcement, and he's going to appear in court. So I thought, the question was, will he appear in court? So, yeah, we're still waiting on that. But he has absolutely surrendered to law enforcement. Like I said, 30 years he could face. Will he defer the 28 and just serve the two? Who knows? And I'm just playing. But, Danny, everybody should read it. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize Pinocchio. This is a good one. Jim says, no, some Christian. I didn't realize Pinocchio was a Japanese interpreter. Yeah, I mean, this guy just lies and lies and lies. It's insane how he was able to pull this off the way he did. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's kind of the whole thing is, you know, there's no need to lie when you have nothing to hide. It's got everything to hide, you know? I mean, what I always say, and I think that this should apply to Shohei Ohtani from here on out, is I have trust issues because people have lying issues, okay? I look both ways when I cross a one-way street, right? I don't trust anybody. And I think that's going to be Shohei Ohtani from this point forward, is he's going to be very selective with anyone that he brings into his life. So I think this is a good lesson for Shohei. I think this is going to mature him and allow him to enter this next chapter of his life. He's a married man, right? Hey, when you're married, she's going to take a good hard look at those finances, right? She's going to take care of a lot of business now. I guarantee you that. She's already handling that social media. But old school forever, Ipe bonded out with Ohtani's money. I'm ready to see all the apologies deserved to Ohtani. Joseph Gaeta, the man has pay his mistakes. Dunn Benjamin Black, the people that blamed Ohtani for betting just didn't want the Dodgers to be dominant going to the game tonight. Benjamin, Dodger baseball. I know. Aren't you guys excited to talk about baseball again? We're going to do that in our next segment. I cannot wait. We got everything edited. So what is the worst thing that could happen to my glorious king, Ohtani? The worst thing? I mean, what do you mean by that? The worst thing? There's no bad things. Let's not put that out in the world. Let's not manifest that kind of stuff. Major background checks, even with interpreters now. It's from Ken Warren. 100%. Big time background checks. Absolutely. You have to find everything about these guys before you let them into his universe, right? Deep fried beans. Yeah, eBay staying away from baseball's relief. He didn't steal a lot of money, but Ohtani will be fine without $16 million. eBay betting on baseball could really have messed with his career. Yeah, and that's one of the things that we learned early on, that even as heinous as this was, even as bad as this was, he did not bet on baseball. I mean, that is really the most important thing in all of this. And even if he had, here's the thing though, even if he had, if everything checked out from what Shohei was saying, I mean, he still would have been fine, right? I mean, it's not like Ohtani knew about this. So if he was betting on baseball, fine, he was. Turns out he wasn't. So it doesn't complicate the matter more than it needs to be. I see people here out there. Okay, we got Wandering Wolf. Gambling digs you into a hole, then gives you a shovel to dig your way out of it. Yeah, it's a fire take right there. That's definitely a fire take right there. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, if you guys ever gambled, it's definitely, if you got that itch, it's definitely, it's pretty wild. It's, you know, what my dad always says, you know, before we go to Vegas, I mean, gambling, that's the sure way of getting nothing for something, right? So, it's always the best thing is, you know, you got to quit while you're ahead. You quit with the best gamblers, you quit while you're ahead. So, it's unfortunate that this all thing happened. He threw his life away, essentially. Hey, D-Mac. As far as lineup struggles go, who's been more damning, Chris Taylor or Gavin Lux? I want to get into that the next segment here for sure. We're going to dive into that topic 100%. NS, his award is max 30 years. Jason Diamond, I bet now Ohtani will keep a closer eye on his finance. I see people saying, too, why didn't Shohei Ohtani talk to the media more than he has? Why was he still able to play during all of this? Well, because he was completely 100% innocent, and he was never implicated as someone that was a gambler, that it was ever gambling himself. And why does he need to speak more than he already did? I mean, he issued a statement. Why does he need to take questions? Okay, look, I get it. You want a little more transparency, but let's just be honest here. Superstars get superstar treatment. And for someone who's working with an interpreter, I'm not mad about it at all, okay? Major League Baseball, the reality of all this, sure, it'd be nice, but they have to protect their golden goose and all this. You got to protect the golden goose and make sure that he's 100% okay. But coming up next here, we're going to get back to baseball. We're going to talk about baseball and the Dodgers lineup struggles. What can they do at the bottom of that order? That's coming up next here on Dodgers Dugout Live. What up, Dodgers Nation? D-Mag here. I'm here to remind you that if you have not yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel for all latest Dodgers news, rumors, hype videos, interviews, breakdowns, live streams, and more all year long. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. And if you really want to help the channel out, smash that like button. Also, you will not be eligible for any of our giveaways unless you are subscribed to the channel. So all you need to do to be eligible for all of our giveaways is just make sure that you are subscribed. We just gave away a brand new authentic Mookie Betts jersey valued at over $350. And we got tons of giveaways coming this offseason. So be sure to be subscribed so you are eligible to win. And as always, think blue, bleed blue, and please subscribe. And welcome back to a Friday edition of Dodgers Dugout Live here. We're rocking and rolling here. I got my producer to my left, Mr. Antonio. Guys, any comments you have, drop them down below. We will feature them. Any super chats, we will feature them 100%. So definitely keep dropping those comments. And also, just a little update on our poll question before we get into the action here. We're going to talk about the bottom of the lineup. I asked you guys over on Twitter, who will be the Dodgers' next player to break out this season? 36% of you say Gavin Lux, 12% say Chris Taylor, 24% say Kike Hernandez, 28% of you say others. So if you have to spot the pimple on a model, if you have to point to something that hasn't been elite on this Dodgers team. You can say the bullpen during certain stretches. You can say you've had some rough starts from Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone. But really the most glaring weakness is 100% the bottom of that Dodgers lineup. It's the bottom of that Dodgers lineup because they just haven't produced. You're having contact issues. They're not putting the ball in play enough. You're seeing too many strikeouts. And a couple guys, Gavin Lux, James Outman has started to break out. Max Muncy, not towards the bottom of the lineup, but he's been very boom or bust. Either he's hitting a home run, he's slugging, or he's striking out in big situations. But we are just 15 games into a 162-game season. But look, 15, it's not the biggest sample size. But I have about 30 to 40 at-bats to draw from. But you look so far, we're starting with Max Muncy. I'm talking about everyone outside of the top four. The top four, they're the MV3 plus one. They're the Mount Crushmore. They are doing all the work on the group project. I mean, the Dodgers 1-4 is absolutely historic. They've gone 83 for 235. They're hitting 351 within 1,030 OPS. And if you include Teoscar Hernandez batting in the cleanup spot, he has an 1135 OPS with one home run and two doubles batting cleanup. So, look, the 1-4, they've been as advertised. They've been elite. Mookie slowed down a little bit. Otani's picked it up. Freddie's really ready to have a surge. Will Smith's hitting the ball hard. And then Teoscar, when he's getting his opportunities in the cleanup spot, he's done damage. So not worried about them at all. But outside of the 1-4, the 5-9 has gone a combined 59 for 278. They're hitting just 212. It's one of the worst in Major League Baseball. And you start with Max Muncy. Muncy's hitting 250 with a 111 weighted runs created plus. Hey, that's still 11% above league average. Anyone saying that Max Muncy's having an awful season, they're not looking at the right data, the right numbers. Like I said, he's been a little boomer bust, and you've seen some flashes. You've seen some hard contact. You've seen him leave the yard a couple of different times. But I think where Max Muncy needs to improve is his ability to come through with runners in scoring position. And I always kind of quibble with the idea of runners in scoring position because, Antonio, if there's no runners on base, I mean, if you hit a home run, you basically are the runner in scoring position, right? So a little quibble with that, but he's hit 217 with runners in scoring position this season. He's had big strikeouts in big spots a couple days ago. First inning versus Paddock, he had runners on second and third. He grounds the pitcher. Later in the fifth inning, he had runners on the corners and two outs. He swings and misses at a slider in the zone. And I think for him, you want to reduce that strikeout rate as well. That strikeout rate is a little too high for my liking right now. It just doesn't feel like it's Max Muncy, where he's seeing the ball incredibly well and he's taking more walks. His strikeout rate at the moment sits at 41.7%. That's actually, sadly, regretfully, I'm saying this, that's actually the highest in all of Major League Baseball with a minimum of 40 plate appearances. You know, I bring my facts to the fight. 41.7% strikeout rate. It's the highest in MLB with a minimum of 40 plate appearances. So I always say about Max Muncy, he's like the barbecue sauce of this lineup. I mean, the barbecue sauce on those ribs. You mean you put that Texas, he's from Texas, you put that Texas barbecue sauce on, it takes it to a whole nother level. Big glue guy for this team. He has produced, but Max Muncy is a talented hitter. He can do better with runners in scoring position, and he can cut down on that strikeout rate. Now, you go from the 5-9, and then you look at these parameters and let's talk about the 7-9. A little more specific here. The 7, 8, 9 hitters for the Dodgers, they've combined to go 29 for 165. They're hitting 175 collectively with a 494 OPS. That's towards the bottom of Major League Baseball. And let's start with left field. Chris Taylor has gotten some opportunities in left field, but just the left field production just hasn't been there. I mean, a .80 batting average with a 303 OPS for anyone that started in left field for the Dodgers. And you had Teoscar start there at times, but now he's playing a lot of right field with Jason Hayward gone. But Chris Taylor has really struggled so far this season. There's no way to sugarcoat. He's 0 for his last 22, struggling to put the ball in play, struggling with the high strikeout rate. This is someone who is a streaky player. We know Chris Taylor's a streaky player, but still, the strikeout rate at the moment is too high. The inability to put the ball in play is too high. And Right now, he's hitting .037. That's the worst in all of Major League Baseball with a minimum of 30 plate appearances. His 43.8 strikeout rate is the second highest in Major League Baseball with a minimum of 30 plate appearances. Now, having said that, it's got to be difficult for Chris Taylor because he's not getting consistent at-bats. He's not getting consistent playing time because of the additions this offseason. You have Kike. You have James Altman in center. You had Jason Hayward to start the year, but then you have Teoscar Hernandez. And then for him to just kind of be worked into that mix, I mean, they brought in Trammell, right? I mean, I think for Kike Hernandez to get it going, for Chris Taylor to get it going, you're probably going to want a little more consistency at the plate. But unfortunately, you're not earning those at-bats with the limited opportunities that you are getting, because in the limited opportunities you're getting, you're not going out there and getting the results. So for Chris Taylor, you look at him at the plate, it's kind of the same thing that we've seen. I mean, is the load a little too big? I mean, do you have the swing that's a looping swing where he's swinging underneath fastballs? Would you want to see a little more of a flatter bat path? Yes, you would, but you're not going to change the stripes on a Tiger this stage of his career, right? I mean, this is someone who's a streaky hitter. Let's not forget, he had gone 8 for his last 72 before he hit the walk-off in the wild card game a few seasons ago and just went nuclear and put together an incredible postseason where we were talking about Ock Taylor, right? And you wanted to bring him back and you signed to that 4-year, $60 million deal. So at the moment, he's struggling. Can he get out of it? I think he could, but I think this is what you're going to see with Chris Taylor. I think they're going to give him more opportunities. And if he continues to struggle, if he doesn't hit, and part of the issue is he's just not putting the ball in play at all. And when you don't put the ball in play at all, that really hurts the offense because there's no productive outs. And if you're just striking out and you're guaranteed out, that hurts the offense. I mean, he has been sort of a three true outcome player throughout his career, right? Home runs, walks, strikeouts. Right now, he's kind of a one outcome player, right? Lots of strikeouts. Mr. Classic says CT3 is below average since 2021. I believe in Chris Taylor in the postseason. I think he still has something in there, a little mechanical tweak here and there. His value is his versatility. And if the Dodgers lose someone else, then he's someone that you could plug in there. But I think he needs to make an adjustment to his swing because he's aging. He's getting a little older. And when you age a little bit, you have to make some tweaks to your swing. And I think he's still going out there trying to be 2017 Chris Taylor with that big looping, violent swing to do damage. And I just don't think the bat speed is there. I don't think the contact ability is there right now to kind of justify him. So I think they're going to give him some more opportunities. I think he absolutely will get more opportunities. But if he does continue to struggle, I could see an IL stint, even in the 60-day variety, saying, you know what? You're beloved in the clubhouse. You're beloved by the fans. You're a big part of the culture here as one of the veterans. But look, this is a numbers game. We need production from that part of the lineup. We don't want to have you go out there and strike out at almost 50% of the time, because when it gets bad for Chris Taylor, it gets really bad. Like I said, some weeks it looks like he's the best baseball player ever. Some weeks it looks like he just forgets how to baseball at the plate. And I think what's best for Chris Taylor is give him some more opportunities, see if he can get things going. An IL stint possibly. I don't think they're going to DFA a Chris Taylor. I think that would be a shock to the system, to this team, that I don't think they would ever pursue. It's possible. Everything's possible. But I think that they just want to try to get him right and get the best version of Chris Taylor. Because I see people pointing out here in the chat, calling my shot now, Ivy, CT3 will have the biggest hit this postseason. And that is why you can't DFA someone like Chris Taylor. You can't even entertain the idea of DFAing a Chris Taylor. Because Chris Taylor is someone that is a gamer. He's a dog. His heart rate stays nice and low where you need it, as far as his ability to go to the plate in clutch situations and give you a big at-bat. So I think there's that, and I think there's the fact that who are the other options, right? I mean, you could possibly bring up a Miguel Vargas, and you know I would definitely want to see that at some point. I think that's the first thing I'd want to see, really, is you put Chris Taylor on the IL, and then you bring up a Miguel Vargas, and you see if what we've seen early on this season with Miguel Vargas is true. Because Miguel Vargas has absolutely raked at the minor league level this season so far. You're seeing him pull pitches on the outer half, looking almost like a Manny Machado. He's getting back to looking extremely hitterish, as Oral Hershiser likes to say, as far as someone that has that hit tool where he can cover both sides of the plate and do damage. And his bat-to-ball skills are still some of the best we've seen at the minor league level in the last couple of seasons. You guys know, Miguel Vargas, That's my guy. I mean, so far this season, in 11 games, he's a 154 weighted runs created plus with 3 home runs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And I will say this, Miguel Vargas has 1 million fans, I am one of them. Miguel Vargas has 100 fans, I am one of them. If Miguel Vargas has 1 fan, I am him. Miguel Vargas has 0 fans, and I'm no longer on this earth. If the world is against Miguel Vargas, then I am against this world. You guys know I love me some Miggy Varg, and I want to see him get an opportunity if the guys in the bottom of this lineup don't get things going. I'd rather see Miguel Vargas first than some external options. And the next you have Gavin Lux, who we talked about a little more in depth. So Gavin Lux hitting 204 with a 573 OPS. The ISO power, which is slugging percentage minus batting average, it's a great measure of raw power. It's 0.25. That's the 10th lowest in Major League Baseball with a minimum of 40 plate appearances. His 233 on base percentage is 15th worst in Major League Baseball. So I think for Gavin Lux, for him to provide value for this team, it's not his defense, because his defense, even if it's above average, it's still sacrificing having Mookie at second and Rojas at short. So he can't lean on his defense. For him to make sense for this team, he has to produce at the plate. And you look at that on-base percentage at 233, 15th worst in Major League Baseball. That has to go up, because the way that the Dodgers constructed this lineup and the reason why they're willing to go with Gavin Lux and give him so many opportunities, because they saw what he did a couple years ago when he was around a 3-WAR player. And he was batting 8th and 9th, and he was the second leadoff hitter, had a 130 weighted runs created plus in that role. He got on base, he used his speed, and he generated runs. Well, if you're on bases that low and you're not slugging at all, what value are you providing at the plate? So he did have a hard hit ball the other day. Hopefully he can get things going. I'm going to ask Doc about Gavin Lux today, probably about his assessment of him and how long of a leash is he going to give him. And I think you definitely need 50 to 100 plate appearances before you can really begin to assess this. But let's not forget, coming off a major injury, hasn't played a ton of baseball in the last couple of years, has been banged up in the past. He definitely needs a good amount of time to get that timing back and get that rhythm back in the plate. But let's not forget, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? This is a performance-based business. They don't do anything charitable for these players as far as, okay, we're going to give you runway because of the injury or because there's some sentimental reason that you're coming back from the injury. No, they want results. And if the results aren't there, they're going to look elsewhere. So I still think Miguel Rojas, who is hitting at the moment, and his defense is still elite, he's better at shortstop than Mookie Betts ever will be. And that's no slight to Mookie Betts. That's more of me shining a light on how good Miguel Rojas is. And just having an elite shortstop out there just feels good, man. You feel safe. And I feel like I'm, you know, in the backseat of my like grandma's Cadillac. You know, I feel safe when I'm driven around in that. You know, that's how I feel like when you have a great shortstop out there like a Miggy Rowe. And I also don't like the toll it takes on Mookie Betts. You guys know I've planted my flag on that one for sure. I don't love the idea of Mookie Betts at shortstop. Now, who are the external options? Who are the external options if you don't want to give Miguel Vargas that opportunity, which I think they will? Andy Páez, he's raked so far. What makes Andy Páez special is the fact that he can hit a ton of home runs. He has the potential to be a 20 to 30 home run guy, but not with a high strikeout clip, right? He takes his walks. He hits a ton of fly balls. He's really tailor-made for the modern major league game. So we'll see our Andy Páez hopefully later at some point this summer. Little early to bring him up now. Miguel Vargas, I think with how he's fared so far in his production, I think he's earned another opportunity if that comes about. Brian Sanchez, D-Mac, the MVP. You the MVP back, my man. I'll give you a fire take for sure. And I'm going to get to your comments here. We're going to do the seventh inning stretch as we get out of this one today. Now, as far as external options, so I've been talking about Tyler O'Neill on the Red Sox. He's raked so far. He has one more year of team control, right? That's a perfect deadline trade chip. They're not going to trade him now. That's a name to keep your eyes on for later in the season. But Tommy Pham's really interesting. Tommy Pham has not signed with a team. And makes you wonder, what does his market look like? Why hasn't he signed with the team? Well, a little older, right? Tommy Pham is not the youngest player in Major League Baseball. He's getting closer to 40 than he is to 30. He turned 36 on March 8th. And MLB trade rumors about his market writes, Juan Trivio of MLB.com tweeted at MLB that eight teams, remain in contact with Pham's camp. John Heyman of the New York Post indicates that the Red Sox have some degree of interest. Boston Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow said last month that the team was open to adding a right-handed hitting outfielder, making that a natural fit. So one thing you need to know is there is a market out there for Tommy Pham. He's just looking for more money and a better contract than what teams are currently offering, which I'm guaranteeing is nothing big and substantial. It's probably something on a one-year deal. Who knows what it's at? $5 to $9 million, maybe something in that range, maybe less than that. And he's entering his age 36 season. Last year he was with the Mets and the Diamondbacks. He was traded at the deadline. He had 16 bombs and slashed .256, .328, .446 in 481 plate appearances last season. And stole 22 bases in 25 attempts. So he does bring that speed dynamic. Struck out in the walks. He struck out 22%, 9.8% walk rate. The hard contact was there. The exit velo numbers were exceeding 95 miles per hour all season. So he hit the ball hard. He was stealing bases. He was hitting home runs. And then in the postseason, he ended up hitting .279 with a .297 on base. He slugged .475, hit 3 home runs in 16 postseason games for the Diamondbacks. So he produced. He produced for sure last season, and he's out there. He could be had. He wanted to be a Dodger last year. Yeah, I can tell you, he wanted to be a Dodger last year. And also, there was a Twitter account that tagged him in a question that said, when would Tommy Pham be able to start playing, assuming he signs sometime soon? And Pham responded right away saying next day. So that's pretty encouraging. Okay. That's pretty encouraging. He's ready to go. Okay. Last five seasons, he's only had two where he's been an above average hitter. But I think in the role the Dodgers would have for him, I think the Dodgers could get the most out of him. I mean, I think that you would just want to call up Páez probably first. And hopefully you don't want Páez to end up like a Michael Busch where you trade him and he rakes for another team. And there's some good internal options. But, hey, Tommy Pham, if you want a veteran, he's out there and he could be had. So let me know down below in the comments section, what are your thoughts on the possibility of signing a Tommy Pham? He does have a market. Like Juan Trivia pointed out, eight teams are interested in him. And he's going to sign and play this season. It's just a matter of when does he want to strike on that contract? When does he want to take it? Isn't Pham a toxic player? That's from Juan Jimenez. I think it's a little overblown. I think Tommy Pham is someone that is a misunderstood player. I mean, is he a misunderstood player in a lot of different ways? I mean, I think everyone thinks about, is he a toxic player because of what happened with Jock Peterson? I mean, well, last I checked, they weren't on the same team. Okay. They weren't on the same team there. And I kind of think about what he did last year during the postseason. Tommy Pham had a chance to go 5-for-5 in a World Series game. That would have been the first time in World Series history. And what did he do? He actually asked the manager, Terry Lovello, to let Jace Peterson hit so he could get his first World Series at bat. He actually commented on Instagram about this. He said, I asked Torrey, can Jace hit for me? I wanted my dog to get his first World Series at bat. Stop this narrative, please. So I think that he's going to be on his best behavior wherever he's at. And guess what? If you sign him to a really cheap one-year type of deal, if he is any type of distraction or if he is a toxic player in the clubhouse, he'll be gone. He will be Jamal Adams quick where he's trying to enter the facility and it's locked. So it's not going to happen. But let's do the seventh inning stretch and we will head out of this one. We got Ethan Long. We need the Tatis plaque taken down ASAP. You don't want the Tatis plaque? Hey, look, that's what they do. That is what they do at Dodger Stadium is you get a plaque if you hit it out of the stadium. I mean, I know you don't like it, but It's just, it's how it is. I mean, what do you think? What do you think, Roberto? Should they take the plaque down?
Roberto.
Oh, wait, Antonio. Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. I mean, it's a nice piece of history. You know, I know the Padres kind of, it's a nice piece of history. I'd say leave it.
See, Roberto in the comments says, no, I think for me, Antonio, I mean, look, if you have a policy, it doesn't matter who hit it. It really doesn't. Like, if it was Barry Bonds, if it was Carlos Correa, if you have a policy and you're going to honor players, you can't be selective, okay? And you had Mark McGwire, he did it in 1999. Mike Piazza, 1997. Willie Stargell, he did it twice in 69 and in 73. Tatis Jr., he did it in 2021. So, I mean, look, you got to give him credit. You got to let him do it. I personally, as much as it pains me to say this, you really can't take it down. You got to leave it up. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton did it. I mean, if you want more, I want to say, how about this? Let's have Shohei Ohtani hit one out. That's my prediction. I think Shohei Ohtani is going to hit one out of the stadium. He's got to hit a pull one out of the stadium. It's going to be tough. I think he does it this season, though, at some point. I'm going to shoot my shot. I think he's going to go. Oh, we got ring. I like this. NS is a ringworm plaque. We got Busana. What would Vinny do? He'd keep it. You got to keep it. You got to respect it. I mean, that's the cool thing about the Los Angeles Dodgers. We got Kai Maloney. Outman has gotten us gotten so unlucky lately. He's hitting the ball hard, but right at people. Yeah, but he's starting to see the results. I mean, he hit two home runs in two consecutive games, so you got to give him credit for that. Bryce M says, just call up Páez. He can't do any worse than Taylor. That's from Bryce M. I think that when you consider that he was limited to just 30-plus games last season due to the injury, you want to give him more at-bats at the minor league level and allow him to get more comfortable. But yeah, as soon as he's ready, I would jump on it earlier than later. I'll tell you that much. Best arm in the entire organization, the outfield. Some guy who absolutely crushes the ball. I mean, he's a special hitter. He absolutely is. We got the Jason B says, no fam for me. I'd rather watch Chris Taylor go 1 for 500, Barnes 2 for 500, and Muncy with 500 strikeouts. So, yeah, you don't want to see him on your fam, I guess. It'd be a little bit of a family feud for you. I don't know. It seems like you wouldn't be feeling that. We got Chat. I like this username. 123467. Vargas has been giving enough time to prove Dodgers fans he deserves to be a Dodger. Give Andy Páez a chance. Kyle Collier says, I'm ready to see all the apologies deserved to Ohtani. And yes, if guys want to come out there that were suggesting that he was gambling, if they want to apologize, that'd be great. But guess what? Most important thing for the Dodgers is they can put this behind them and use this as fuel, too. Anything used as motivation is great. David, he says, watching from work at Riverside. Hey, sorry to your bosses. I mean, you're hurting productivity a little bit. No, you're actually being more productive, I think. I truly do. I mean, because you're thinking of the Dodgers. You're getting hyped. It's motivating, right? Brittany Flores Rodriguez, don't worry. My grandma is rubbing an egg on Chris Taylor tonight. Okay. That's the thing. I don't care what you got to do. Get Joe Boo out, right? And you got to do the rum. You got to shave your head. You got to shave your beard. It's baseball. That kind of stuff absolutely works. We got Scarlet and Blue. Got an outside the norm question. Why do the Dodgers games start later than other games played within the state? Is it traffic concerns? I mean, earlier, decades past, you would see games much earlier than now. I definitely think that just your theory is probably, it's got to be something to that. I mean, 7:10 starts are later. You do see that in some of the major cities, but they are pretty consistent with the game time. So I don't know if that has to do with the traffic, because let's be honest, if it was at 7:30, I mean, you probably would still see a late arriving crowd, and that always tends to be the case. But I mean, if you look at even East Coast cities, I mean, those games are listed at 4:05, right? I mean, and you look at major cities too, Red Sox, Yankees, those are 4:10 Eastern, 7:10. So yeah, 7:10 is pretty much the standard for Major League Baseball. So I don't think the Dodgers are getting any type of like special treatment. We got, okay, please kill the background music. Yeah, we'll definitely work on that. Sorry about that. But we got the Blue Love from AZ. Kike is my guy this year. But that's going to do it, guys, for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. I will be at the game tonight. So if you're going to the game, you see me, come say what's up. We'll talk Dodger baseball. And also, we're doing a post-game show at Dodger Stadium, do a quick recap. We're going to upload that real quick. So any info we got about anything, check on Dodgers Nation Twitter, on our Instagram. Everything, go to DodgersNation.com. All things Dodger baseball. Big shout out to super producer to my left, Mr. Antonio, always killing the game over there. Remember, nothing brings together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.